Welcome to Ray Christian Fellowship. My name is Paul Karras. I'm the senior pastor here. It's so good to see so many of you and a lot of faces I don't know. Welcome. We hope that you are encouraged this morning here at church. Some of you guys also might be here not to, for worship, but you heard there was food. So that's okay. Whatever gets you in the door, we're happy to have you here. We should have some really great stuff. I was seeing tons of people bring dishes coming in, so I'm really excited to see what this church is all about, because I'm relatively new here, and so every church has a different culture. Every church has things that they like and that they'll bring to potlucks and things like that. So this is kind of the first mix-up for me when it comes to the barbecue. So I'm kind of interested in what side dishes showed up this morning. Really kind of excited about that. Last week, we did a sermon on the Lord's Prayer, and we were talking about how when we pray things like the Lord's Prayer, and when we have them as part of a service, as part of a church culture, we never want to lose sight and meaning behind why we will pray something like that, or anything that we do in church here. And so this morning, we're going to start a new series, and we're going to be going through our vision and mission statement today as a church, and also our core values. And now, if you've taken any time to look at our website, they're under what our section of what we believe. And as I was thinking about this, and I've served in churches for 23 years. I grew up in church like most of you. We don't just slap things up on a website just because, hey, we're supposed to have a mission statement and a vision statement. They're there to let people know what we're about foundationally. And I think it's great, just kind of like we did last week with the Lord's Prayer, it's great for us to visit these things from time to time. Because when we take membership in a church and we say, hey, we want to be a part of this community, it's getting to that point of understanding, what are we saying we want to be a part of? And so as we get into this morning here, I hope you just have a better understanding. If it's been a while since you visited us, and by the way, we had a mission statement, we've had core values, we actually have a vision statement that's new to the church. And I'm going to try to, this morning, unpack all this for you guys. Some of this might feel like a 30,000 view of like the aerial picture of the church, and sometimes, hopefully, we'll get it down a little bit more where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, for us as a church. And so the question that we're looking at is, we're doing a series called What Does It Mean to Be All In? That's what we're calling this series, All In. So what does it mean to be an invested person here at Ure Christian Fellowship? And so one of the other things I'm excited about as we do this service is, you know, we will have new people, and some of you guys might be new this morning. You might be just trying to figure out, what is this church all about? And so I hope that you'll get a better understanding of that picture too. But this idea of what is it to be all in, right? Because we don't want to just do things half, or like half, as I can't finish that sentence, halfway, right? There's a Christian way to say that. Halfway. We want to be all in. And so this question here, what does it mean to be all in, and how does that relate to our vision and mission statements here at Ure Christian Fellowship? And so I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. I actually think most definitions that we find in dictionaries are pretty good. And so I just pulled this one out of a dictionary, and it says to be fully committed to a task or endeavor, to give or be prepared to give all one's energy or resources towards something, and to be completely exhausted, fatigued, or worn out. I thought that was interesting that they pair those two ideas, to be completely in where you feel exhausted by your efforts. And I think we've all been in those places, because I think what the definition here that is describing isn't this like, I'm burnt out. What it's describing here is this idea of, how do you feel when you have put a good day's worth of work in? When you have accomplished something, when you finish that floor at your house. I know a family over here working on their house. How does that feel when you finally, as you're struggling through something, you get to the finished product and you feel like, I can rest now. I can feel like what I did was good. And I think there is the better application here. It's not a burnout. It's this idea of when I've invested all my energy and efforts towards something and I come out and feel like, yeah, I'm proud of that. And so that's what we want everybody to feel here, is when we get around this in a little bit here, when we start revealing the vision and mission statement, we want you to feel like, can I be attached to that, those ideas in such a way that I can give of myself where I can feel good at the end of the day, that what I'm doing here in this community, in this church, is serving a purpose, and I can walk away feeling like, man, I've accomplished a lot. So we're looking at that. What is a partner? And so and as we look at these are scriptural things. I want to say that. The Apostle Paul, who we know writes a lot of the New Testament, you know, it's interesting, when he started out in ministry, we're told, and I think it's in Acts 9, that Jesus says, I will show him how much he will suffer for the church. And so you, when you talk about all the things, and you think through the Apostle Paul, all the things and the challenges he went through to advance the gospel, man, he was all in. Because honestly, if some of the things of being shipwrecked and beaten, thrown in jail, I'd be like, I'm out. I would hope not. But I would imagine that that thought would creep in. Is this worth it? And so you look at that. Jesus, all in, right? He's the ultimate example for us. All in. At the most of the times when you read throughout the scriptures, at the end of his day, he was exhausted. Sometimes you'd find him asleep in a boat. He was tired. He was all in advancing the kingdom and obviously giving his life literally. So another question that I want to kind of start off with before we get into the scriptures there is why? Why is it important to have an express vision and mission? I went to Bible school and I graduated from Nyack College, and they would make us do these exercises. All right, write your vision statement out for your ministry and write your mission statement. I hated those exercises. I was like, can I just love Jesus and, you know, serve his kingdom? And maybe some of you guys feel that same thing. And you're like, really, why do we need a vision statement? And so again, but here's the idea. And I know this is not our intention, but if we aim at nothing, we'll hit it at every time. A vision and mission statement allows us to narrow our focus. It allows for any church to find its voice in its community. And then to go after that and to be a precision tool in the hand of God for him to do his work. And so for me, I look at this, and this is a biblical principle we'll find. If you want to just reference it or write a note down, if you look at Proverbs 29:18, it talks that a people without vision perish. Now, if you really get into that passage and you try to unpack it, what we find is that, look, when people don't have a set of things, guidelines or guardrails to keep them on the path, they'll just run crazy. They'll go their own way. And the scripture makes that clear. And you see a really good example of this in Exodus 32. If you recall that story, that's with the golden calf. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments from God. They feel like Moses is slow in getting back, and guess what they say? Hey, Aaron, you lead us and create a golden calf for us to worship and things like that. And they just start going crazy. There is no focus. There is no precision to their thoughts and what keeps them on track. And so you see this coming down. Moses comes down and finds all sorts of craziness going on back at the camp. And he's probably thinking to himself, what in the world just happened? They were a people without vision. Now, interesting, he was getting a vision, a process that would keep them on track. But you see this when people are left to their own devices, anything is game. And you see people start making things up. And so this idea, why do we need a vision? Well, we don't want to perish as a community of believers. We want to be a tool in God's hand that is useful. And so you look at this reason. So I want to give you a few other ones here. So we've already seen vision, right? People without a vision perish. A couple other things. Vision and mission statements. These are some things that help us. Before we get to our visions, I need to set this up here. This is your 30,000 view. Vision and mission statements can promote growth both internally and externally. So it will help us to know what we're pursuing internally here and then what we're pursuing externally. A strong vision and mission helps us as a church to focus on what matters most. And so it's asking that question. It's like, we can do some things good, we can do some things better, but what can we do best? And so a good vision and mission statement helps narrow that focus down. It can invite improvement, right? So our vision and mission statements can motivate us towards common goals, where we are working together to achieve those goals. And it also says, it kind of like constantly puts out there, after we do things, it allows us to take a step back and say, how did we think that went? Could we have done better in what we were trying to accomplish? And then finally, I like this, and I think a lot of times, you know, in churches, our desire is just to help everybody, and that's great. I think that's not a bad posture to have, but again, it's that good, better, best model. And so I can say yes to everything and do everything at a broad level, or I can become more narrow and narrower and purposeful with what we're doing. And so our vision mission statement can allow us just simply to say yes to some things and no to other things. Again, this is where I'm talking about churches find their voice. What is it that God has called this church to do in Ouray County? And I can tell you right now, those things are going to look different than, say, the church I served in Connecticut on the East Coast. What we're pursuing there and what we're trying to do. There is an overall goal, right, to bring the gospel message. But how we do it, who we're trying to address, knowing our audience, all those things are really important for us. So, that being said, we're going to look at some of these things. But before I bring up our vision and mission statements, I want you to read with me this morning some key passages that we use to help develop these things. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask you to stand for some of this reading. We're going to probably jump around faster than your fingers can turn pages. So the scripture will be up on the screen behind me. But I want to just start with prayer, and then I'll talk about these passages as we get into the statements. So, Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can come and worship you, Lord, and that we can come together as a body, Lord. We know the common ground that draws us all together, and that is your son, Jesus, and I thank you for that. But God, I pray, Lord, as we go through this message this morning, as we look at this church's vision and mission statement together, God, I pray in our minds, can we start to that you would reveal to us how you would want us to engage in those statements, and how can we be all in, God, for your glory here in Ouray. God, I pray, Lord, as we read these scriptures, that they would fall fresh on us, that your spirit would lead us into new truth, God, that we would not become dazed or complacent when we read these words from the scriptures here, God, that they would fall fresh on us, that they would motivate us, that they would inspire us. And so I just ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this may seem like we're jumping from one passage from another, but again, these are fundamental to our vision and mission statements. And so we have a bunch of scripture behind our statements, but these are some key ones I want to kind of bring out. And so we're going to read first from Romans 10 here, verses 13 and 15. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's an awesome statement. But then how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, Paul says, him we proclaim, this is Jesus, Jesus we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And then finally, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You may be seated. So again, what does it mean to be all in? And how does it relate to our vision mission statements? And so as we look to put our vision statement together, these are just some questions that we were kind of thinking through as we put our thoughts pen to paper here. And so Things that we're trying to solve. What are the hopes and dreams of as this church? What do we hope God does in the community of Ray? What problems are we trying to solve for the greater good? And who are we trying to inspire to change? And so in light of those questions, this is a statement we came up with. And I'm really excited. I'm very proud of this. Because you don't want to overthink it. You don't want it to be too complicated that no one remembers it. And I think it's pretty straightforward and simple. Our aim is to make Jesus known. Period. This is why we exist. We want people to know who Jesus is. And so we'll talk about how that happens a little bit in just a few minutes. But that's the goal for us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. We want our lives to point to something, and our aim is for it to point to Jesus. And in that process, helping others to discover a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, one that leads people to become complete in Christ. And so let me just stay here, because we did a whole series towards the beginning of summer on the Great Commission. And so Matthew 28 is represented in this vision statement. It's to go and make disciples, okay? I didn't want to put that up there because we spent 5 weeks on that. But that is a beautiful thing. That's a great vision statement right there, to see people coming to Christ. Why invent the wheel? Nope, we're just going to take our cue from the scripture here. And then as we read this morning, Acts 1:8. I love this because this is important, right? It talks about how we're going to be his witnesses, all Judea, in Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit comes and we're empowered by him to be his witnesses, right? And so that is not to be overlooked. As we look to accomplish making Jesus known to this community, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not through our own strength. We're not trying to do this on our own steam. We're trying to do this in the Spirit's strength. And then Romans 10, we wanted to consider, what if no one goes? And this is what we just read just now. We just read how important it is. Everyone who will call on the name of Jesus will be saved. But how will they call on him if they never heard about him? And so this is what we're trying to drill down on for our community. We want people to know Jesus. And then Colossians 1:28. It's not just good enough for us, we felt, as we put this vision statement together to say, well, let's just tell people about Jesus and leave it like that. No, as a church, we want to be part of that discipleship process where we take somebody who's just asking questions about Jesus to all the way through to maturity in Christ. And Paul says, as you heard him say, he's all in. This is why I toil day in and out. I want to see people know the love of Jesus, and I want to see them mature in Christ. And man, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're just trying to be a part of what God is already instituting as a vision for his church. And so again, our vision here is our aim is to make Jesus known, helping others discover a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, one that leads people to be complete in Christ. And then so, as we go back to some of those questions, right? What are our hopes and dreams? Man, I want to see people come into the Lord like crazy, and I hope that you're all in on that. I hope that you're just excited about that, to see people's lives change. We talk about how God's grace in this last song we just sung before the message is rewriting people's story every day. That's what I want to see. That is my hope. That is my dream. That is the big picture. As we sit here in this church, that this place is filled. Not because I'm great speakers or great worship, things like that. Not that that wouldn't hurt. But we want to see people have that connection with Jesus. We see it so important. And so the problem that we're trying to solve in this vision statement is this idea of distance. We know that sin separates. We want that gap to be bridged. As believers in Christ, we want to do what we can to bring people close to the love of Christ. And so we're trying to solve that big problem of distance. People being over here, God being over here. Bringing people to connecting people to the love of Jesus. And what we're hoping to see is change. That people are inspired to be more like Christ than their flesh. And so we're looking to see the process of infancy to maturity in faith. And so this vision, I like how someone has once explained this to me. Vision is always focusing on tomorrow. It's the big picture. It's the horizon. The vision statement gets us at, we're not there yet, but we're focused on getting there yet. And so then how does the mission statement support the vision? And this is what I'm going to get into here. And so a couple of questions first before I reveal the mission statement to you guys. These are some of the questions that we're trying to solve within this mission statement. What do we do on a day-to-day basis to accomplish tomorrow? Who do we serve? And how do we serve them? And so our mission statement here now helps us to do the day-to-day thing. So if vision is what we're trying to get to tomorrow, our mission statement should be seen as what we're doing today to get to tomorrow. And so here's what we came up with. We are a Bible-centered community that seeks daily to be like Jesus in our love for God and our love for others. And there was no other verse for me that fit this mission statement perfect than the one we read there at the end there, Matthew 22. A lawyer goes to test Jesus and says, hey, what's the greatest commandment out of all the things in the Bible? And Jesus says, look, the greatest commandment is this, to love God. And the second is like it, to love others. If you were to boil down those six verses, it's to love God and to love others. And so as we pursue this accomplishment of tomorrow with our vision statement, we pursue it by daily living our love out for God and for others. And so, who do we serve and why? Well, all we have to do is look at who did Jesus serve? And why did he serve? Because he knew, look, if everyone gained everything in the world was to gain, but forfeited their soul, they lost. If they didn't know him, they lost. And so, this is who he served. He served everyone who was far off from him and his Father. Who do we serve? Everyone who's far off from him. And are we all in on that on a day-to-day basis? How do we serve people? We serve them with excellence because we care that much. We realize what's at stake if this person dies without knowing him. And so we give the best quality we could possibly come up with. We're all in on that. We love people to the extreme. And so how do we serve people? Again, just with excellence. And so as we look to honor the things we know please God from spending time in fellowship with others, reading, submitting to the word daily, showing gratitude for what he has done, and being the hands and feet of Jesus to the world who needs to know him. These are the day in, day out actions that help us accomplish the vision. Our mission statement says that we are to love God daily and we are to love others daily. And we're all in on that. Question is, are you all in on it? And this is what we're inviting in this message, this service here, is this idea for you to think through this. Am I really committed to this vision and mission of Ure Christian Fellowship? Can I say, yes, I'm all in and I'm going to work tirelessly to the end where I step away and go, I feel good about that day. I feel good about what we did as a church. I feel good about my personal interactions with people at the end of the day, that I've done everything I can to make people know who Jesus is and what motivates me in life, that God motivates me. I'm so in love with him, and because of that love, I'm so in love with you, and I just want you to know the love that has transformed me. I'm reading a book right now, and I can't really tell you if I like it or not, but I did like one thing that they said, and it's a book that's called Right Here and Right Now. It's an everyday mission for everyday people. And it's written by these two guys, Alan Hirsch and Lance Ford. But there was a statement that stuck out to me this week as I was preparing for this message that I'm like, man, I got to share this. So this is what they wrote. They said, the church that Jesus designed is made for impact and massive, highly transformative impact at that. Wasn't it Jesus who said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it? Hang on. Jesus says that the gates of hell don't prevail against us. It is we who are on the advance here, not hell. Doesn't always feel like that. It doesn't always feel like that. Especially we feel the weight of the culture that we work in. And we see the work of the enemy in our society. But we need to be reminded who wins here. Man, as a church, our aim is to make Christ known. And guess what? We win in that. Helping others connect with the love of Jesus, we win in that. Doesn't feel like it, but we win in that, and we need to be reminded of that. And second, the day-to-day, the grind that we feel and the tension we feel in reaching a lost society, we win in that. As a church, we win in that. The second thing that I think we need to understand is this. God expects his church to be light in darkness. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, since I've moved here, and it's just natural, I've heard people say, man, it's your race dark. Guess what? Connecticut was dark, too. Actually, the East Coast has been considered by a lot of great evangelists as to be a spiritual wasteland. So much so that some have even pulled out of their efforts. But guess what? It says light came into darkness. I heard a message this past Christmas, and the pastor just said, where do you think he's leading us? If he's heading into the darkness, where do you think his followers are going? He's leading us into the dark to be light. And again, guess what? We win. So as I was preparing for this message, I setting up the different sermon series, I knew I wanted to preach this message on this Sunday. And as I was thinking through the calendars and things like that, but why this Sunday? I just couldn't think of a better way to express our vision and mission statement than when celebrating the Sunday that we celebrate communion. And I'm going to explain that here a little bit more here. Because the Apostle Paul gives some instructions in 1 Corinthians at 13, in chapter 13, or chapter 11, I'm sorry. But I want you to pay attention to verse 26 here. And so we're kind of transitioning at this point into communion, but the communion and our mission, our vision and mission statement really go hand in hand here, and this is why I wanted to preach this sermon on this day here. Take a look at these words written in 1 Corinthians here. He says, in the same way, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And here's the verse that really caught my attention. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When I think about what we're trying to accomplish in the execution of our vision and mission statement, again, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. God's already laid it out in Scripture. We are proclaiming something. We are trying to point people to the love of Jesus. And communion was something that was set up for the early church to remember the great love and sacrifice of Jesus. That he doesn't treat us the way we're supposed to be treated. Man, that is the message I want coming out of this church to this community. That there is a God that loves them. And to prove his love, if there was any doubt, that he would give his son, who is righteous for us sinful people, so that we could know him and have that relationship with him. This is what we're proclaiming. And so when we celebrate communion this morning, when we do it on a monthly basis, here's what we're celebrating. We're remembering the past. As we take the elements, we're remembering what God has done in the past, what he's done for us, sealed our salvation through the death and resurrection. We're remembering the past so that all he's been faithful for throughout generations. We're honoring that. We're remembering that. But we're also remembering the presence. We're honoring what he's doing now today in our lives. We're recognizing that. That he's still alive and well. He's still working in our lives. And he's still treating us with new mercies every morning. And then, as we have this communion, We're pointing people to, hey, there's a big picture here on the horizon, and you need to know about it. He's coming back. There's going to be a day where we're going to have to give an answer for why we said yes or no to him. And you're either going to spend eternity with him or you're not. And I can tell you, what awaits for you in eternity with Jesus is far better than awaits for you without Jesus. So this morning, as we take communion, I love the idea that the fact that it kind of captures everything that we're trying to say as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're pointing people to Jesus. This is where our hope is. This is how he's made a difference in our life. And because of those things, we do our best to love him day in, day out, and to love others. Extending grace where grace has been given to us. We're returning that. So one of the things that we thought was important as elders putting together mission and vision statements was this focus on what God has done for us through his son, Jesus. And I hope that as you've seen our statements here, and I'll put them up again, that these things are bearing witness to who we are in Christ, what we are about as a church, what we're trying to accomplish. And my prayer is maybe you're just wrestling with the question, can I be all in on this? Or maybe you're excited right now and be like, let's go. How are we going to do this? And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to unpack a little bit more. We're going to drill down on what is the practical steps that we're taking? What are the core values that help support these statements? What are we doing? So again, I want to invite you back because we got 4 more weeks of core values that we're going to go through and start to now see how the rubber meets the road. Like I said today at the start of the service, some of this may feel like that 30,000 foot, but we're about to dive deeper in the following weeks. So for me today, as we get ready for communion, it's just another reminder why it's important for us as a church to have a strong vision and mission as we seek to be an instrument in the hand of God to reach the lost in this city and in this town of Ouray. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you that you treat us so tenderly, God. You created us to be in relationship with you. And at which point we just decided that wasn't good enough. We turned our backs on you, on your love, and on that relationship. And then you pursue us to say, no, that's not the end. And you pursue us and you demonstrate how much you love us by sending your son Jesus to die for us. And you spare us from what we deserve. God, I'm so thankful for you treating me with kindness, God. I just pray, Lord, that as I have had the space to mature in my faith, as I've had the space to get to know you, I pray, Lord, that as a church, we would create that space for others. That we would be a place where we're just doing our best to allow people to know what the love of Jesus is like. And then giving them that opportunity to grow in their faith and then just be all in on that process of walking alongside of them. God, I don't know what you're going to do here in the next weeks and months or years, God, but I pray that whatever happens, Lord, that you just be honored and that you be pleased. And God, help us when we're feeling kind of the weight of this world. Help us to remember the words and the promise that you win. Help us to run back to that. That for all the things that seem like they could be going wrong, at the end of the day, you win. And I pray, Lord, that would just give us a renewed sense of hope and joy as we approach every day, Lord, in our efforts to love you and to love others well. God, as we get ready here to partake of the elements and remember all that you've accomplished through your death and resurrection, God, I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded of our mission. It's not just to keep this to ourselves. It's to proclaim something. It's to tell others of your goodness, God. So, God, I just pray, Lord, that we would just have this moment here where we can remember your goodness, your faithfulness. And that would inspire us and motivate us to love others well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, in closing, we're going to invite anyone who is a believer in Jesus to come forward and partake of the elements. In just a few seconds here, I believe Kim's going to come up here and just play some music lightly on the guitar, and that will be your opportunity to stand and just come down and take of the bread and juice. But we just ask that you would take it back to your seat. Just wait. We're gonna take the elements together, once everyone has received the bread and the juice. So, Kim, would you come on up, and we'll start this here.